Blog Talk Radio.
And everything is such a mess, but God remembers that I am blessed when everything seems to be wrong. I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember God's got the rest. And everything, after all, is edging me to stand tall. And after all I've been through, and after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but God remembers that I am blessed. I feel like crumbling, try not to fall and just crawl. When everything is such a mess, life's put me to the test. And after all it is done, I can say I have won. After all I've been through, after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember that I am blessed. When everything seems to be wrong, I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember God's got the rest. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember I am blessed.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied and led to greed, a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking its lead. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies they fill with diamonds, ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
Tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
Take
the highs and lows with the one we think forever free.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is your host, Crystal Hope, and welcome to A Team of Voices. The songs you just heard, last one you just heard was Horizons, and the one before that was called Blessed, which is the song that I wrote and sang. But yeah, tonight we are doing poetry on change, because I feel like a lot of us have been through some change. I feel like, especially during the last 2 years, I know I have, and I don't know, I'm just kind of curious to see all the different kind of poetry that people might come up with, or whether they want to get personal or not. I'm just curious to see. So I don't have too many poems tonight, but I'm excited to see what I got. And let me go ahead and say hi to the people I have on the line, which is Deb and Hatter. Hi, guys.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hatter, you sound tired.
Like, hi, Hatter.
I don't know if it was the phone connection or what happened.
Well, it's just me.
Hey, I can't say anything.
Where you going, Hope? Going to school? Going to school?
I ain't been to school in like 6 years. Or more. Might be more than that.
I'm doing my Bella impression.
Yeah. I really miss Bella. I hardly ever talk to her, or a lot of people I don't really talk to as much. I think a lot of people got off all poetry, or they're only on there from like time to time. But yeah, I know that's another thing. I guess we talk about change in the last like 2 years. You watch people come on all poetry and then get off and been on here. I know Heavenly Angel just celebrated her 17th anniversary. So there's some people on here that, like, they years and years, and they never get off. But then you'll see a few people that have been on there for a while, and then they'll kind of disappear for a while. It's interesting. I guess I'm kind of tired myself.
I can't believe.
Had a long day.
I can't believe it's been 17 years, and I bet you she thought it went by in a wink.
Oh, yeah. I know next month I'm celebrating my, hang on, anniversary, I think it's 8. I just remember how old I was, and I always have to think about the year no more than anything else.
When is that, next
but,
month?
Next month.
February,
I think my anniversary
years
is
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do
mine.
My eighth.
December the 8th.
Oh, really?
Mine's February the 9th. Yeah. Guess we're the 8-year club. Part of it, anyway.
Mine's Christmas Eve. This Christmas Eve, 8 years.
I don't know why I thought you'd been on here longer, Hatter. No way.
No, 8 years.
So that means,
you
that
know,
means we came
like a
on
group
around
of
the
us.
Same time.
Yeah,
yeah,
a whole group of us, basically within 6 months of each other, was a whole group of us that joined at the same time. A couple of them just a year, within a year. Deborah, you're there too, right, about a year?
February 9th will be my 8th anniversary.
I was going to say, Hatter, I just looked at your page. It says December 24th, 2013, so you're actually going on 9 years.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was trying to remember, because I thought you had been on before I had, by just a year, though. But still.
That's still pretty close, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah,
No, I've seen some people on here long, long time. Like, you'll go back and you'll see people that were on here, like, 20 years ago. And then they get off for a time, and then they come back. It's crazy.
Yeah, sometimes life takes you away, but at your earliest opportunity, you're back trying to release it all through your pen or keyboard.
I had wished in the beginning of
being on All Poetry that I had been on it more in the beginning, because I first got on it and I did a few poems and then I got off because school, like I was trying to graduate, and by the end of the day, I was so sick of writing papers and doing school and stuff like that, I didn't feel like writing. So I only wrote from time to time. And then whenever I did have time, usually I was spending time with friends. I got a job being a babysitter, and then later like became her nanny more than her babysitter. So like I didn't have time even then, even though I do remember writing a tad bit then. But I rarely wrote in the very beginning of All Poetry. Like it just was like, if you go like way back, you'll see where at one time it will say like a poem in December of 2014, and then you'll go back and it'll be like all the way into June of 2015. It's like, well, that was a gap, but yeah, I didn't do it that much in the beginning. I just wish that I had though, like pursued the like writing a little bit more, but I also get it. I didn't feel like it.
It reminds me of a real lonely Christmas, by myself. And I went in search of friends.
I look how many you have now. You surrounded by them.
I know.
That's what I meant.
I bet you never thought when you logged in that you'd wind up being a radio host. Personality.
Not at all. And Crystal, like you were saying, with all the time that's gone by, hasn't this radio gig really personalized and changed the dynamics of our poetry?
I agree with that too, yeah. Because I feel
it really
like
has.
There's going to be like I said, there's people, I already like feel a connection with like some people just like talking to them on here. Like when I go on memorials or you find out someone has passed away, and like my mom will tell you this too, a lot of people around me will tell you, like I'll sit there and I'll be like, I'll like go, or I'll like get upset and I'm like, what? And I was like, so-and-so died, and they're like, who's that? And I was like, this person I knew in All Poetry, I didn't talk to him that much, but at the same time, like, it still hurts. So, and then when you're doing things like this where you're talking to people on the phone, like it's even more of a connection than even just like talking to someone on All Poetry. So I feel like this is even more of a connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great.
But yeah, I definitely am glad though that I signed on here as long ago as it was. Because, like I said, it's definitely been a change for me. And it definitely, the best time that I ever spent on All Poetry was in 2019 when I, like, joined the podcast and stuff like that. And because I had just gotten over a breakup, or I was getting over one, and I needed something to distract me. So I was just writing. And that is the year that I wrote 500 poems in a year, and because I was just going. But it was something that kept me occupied, and it was something I needed. And then with the podcast as well and things like that, it definitely helped me. I feel like a lot of people, like you're just saying, Hatter, you were lonely. You were looking for friends. You were looking for something to do. And so you find on in here and then look at you now. So it helped you throughout the years as well.
Yeah, did you, this was the third poetry site that I came across. It was the third one. Did you visit any others?
I did. I have my poetry on two other websites, I think. Because originally, a really long time ago, when I was like, I don't know, maybe 14 or something like that. I don't know, a while back. I did what was called, which I think they still have it, called Wattpad. It was a writing, like, it was mainly made for people that like just wrote books and things like that, but I did put some of my poetry on there, but I never did much with it. I just put a couple of poems on there, didn't really ever check or nothing like that. I went on this site, and then I had somebody from All Poetry, like literally right after that, tell me about another site, and I have some of my poetry on there, but I don't go on there that much. And then I think like about a year or two later, I did another website. But this is the main one I go to the most.
Yeah.
But I did look at other websites. I think when I just typed in poetry, this is what popped up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the most practical, the most user-friendly.
I think
and
so.
More, more socializing. The other one seemed like you didn't know where anybody was, if they were looking at you, reading your stuff or not. It seemed very cold.
I mean, the ones that I have been on before, like I have a poem that is on here, and then eventually I'll sometimes put some of my poems I have on here on that website. Well, I have one poem. It don't have that many views on here, but on the other poetry website, it has like 15,000 views.
Oh,
and
really?
That literally like blew my mind. Yeah, it blew my mind when it happened, because it kind of happened like overnight where I got like tens of thousands. Like it was like, I went to like, I posted it, and then like the next day I had like 10,000 views, which freaked me out. And then it kind of slowly, I don't know what it's at right now. The last I looked, which was several months ago, we had 15,000. So I hadn't looked in a while. I'll have to look, I guess. But I'm saying, like, I think most people were just, like, reading poetry, but they don't really connect. They don't really talk to other people. They don't really, like, send messages or anything like that. I think they just go on there to write and read other people's poetry and comment, but I don't think they, like, really want to.
What was that other site? Was it My Poetry or Hello Poetry, or what was that?
It's, yeah, Hello Poetry. It's that one.
I think that's one of the ones I was at.
The other one that I was on, I think it was called My Poetic Side. I went on that one.
Okay.
Which that one, I had, I think, a couple of people that sent me messages. Like, they were a little more social. But like I said, I never went on there that much, so I never paid attention much to the messages.
Right.
So, yes, I said I feel like this one it has, like, the most people that, like, actually, like you and things like that. That's at least what I think. But I feel like, again, this website has more people on it than some of the other places do.
Yeah, I can never tell. It didn't seem like they had groups. The one I was at, I can't remember what it was. I wasn't happy to either one because there wasn't any social.
Yeah, I was.
It was just posters. You could just,
No other website I've been to has had groups. And like I said, I've looked at different ones. I don't ever remember seeing any that had groups. There was one that I had went on, but I was sometimes iffy about it because it had contests, but like some of the contests they said were considered free, and then some of them you had to pay for. And I was like, that sounds like a scam. And I was like, goodbye.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got off of that because I was like, but yeah, but like some of them, I mainly have just gone on there just, like, to post my poetry, like, especially, like, more of the ones that I know that someone may want, need to, keep, like, read or something like that, like, the more hopeful ones, things like that. And, I mean, I don't know. But I also feel like I've gotten more people doing stuff with my poetry on All Poetry more, too. I have one woman who has one of my poems framed in her house, which is weird. I have another one. Yeah, that was actually the thing that got me back into poetry. right after I graduated high school. I had been on the site just a tiny bit during the summer, and then during the fall, I wrote a fall poem, and this woman had a contest on my poetry, and she was like, whatever, she was like, I want some, like, fall and autumn decor for my house. And she was like, whatever poem I like the most, I want to frame in my house. And I was like, cool. So I wrote a poem, and then I entered it, and then it's very short, but it is one of my favorites. But it won, and as far as I know, it's still framed in her house, as far as I know. That was several years ago, though. But yeah. And then I had another woman that she wrote, she did calligraphy for a living, and she asked me for one of my poems. She was like, she's like, I'll give you credit and stuff. And she showed me her website, because she was like, I promise I'm legit. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from you. And I looked at her website, and like she had like a website, a Facebook page and everything. And I was like, you just look like somebody that's like trying to get out there and stuff. And she did these like calligraphy contests in, I think it was in like England and like in the United Kingdom. I think it was in London. I'm not quite sure though. But she had used one of my poems, which it wasn't even one of my favorites. So I literally told everybody that. I said, they were like, are you sure about this? I said, that's not even one of my favorite poems. Like, go ahead, she can have it, I don't care. But my name is on there, on her little calligraphy thing and stuff, and she did enter it into the contest. I don't think it ever won, but I was just happy that people saw it. And I think she did a really good job,
very cool.
too.
Yeah. Very cool.
Like I said, I've had more people on All Poetry do things than I have from other websites, even though the 15,000 on that poem is pretty cool to me. But I think, but like we were talking about before, I think this website has more to it than any other ones do.
No, I had I Googled some of my titles when I was first aware of somebody could steal from you or take something, you know, and I got in my mind just to do some titles and so some hook lines in my poems just to see if I could do what I would see if I Googled them. And in doing that, I noticed one of my poems had been used. Now, how did I chase it down? My name was on a Pakistani site, and it had my name on it. And in going to that page, this guy had 10 of my poems in this folder. So I'm going, oh my God, what's he doing? He didn't ask permission. And in looking at this place in Pakistan, at the Pakistani site, there was at least six other All Poetry poets that were there. I didn't know them, but I did recognize some of the names, and I did see that they were all members of All Poetry. And this guy had accumulated quite a few poems in this folder, and I didn't know how to take it at first. There was 10 of mine in it, and I know that's one other gentleman. He had at least, I wasn't counting his as much, but there was at least four or five of his. Then I said, well, what do you do? I mean, the guy didn't ask permission. What it was, he wasn't stealing it. He was part of the reinsertion of Western culture in India and Pakistan. And he was introducing some poets, right, from the West, from the United States. That's what he was doing. So he wasn't stealing anything. And my name and or initials were on every piece, as was the other poets from All Poetry. And I was going to look him up, but I go, you know what, this guy's not doing any harm. He's not making any money off of it. So, but I had that weird feeling, like you said.
You weren't entirely sure. There was another time a while back. There was a guy from India that was on All Poetry, and he did a contest because he wanted to make books. But he didn't really, he had like a section of his own poetry, but he didn't have a whole lot of poetry because he had just started. And he had a contest for a bunch of people and whatever poems that he liked and stuff like that, he was going to put in the book. Well, he ended up putting two of my poems in there, which I own the book. I was so excited. But at the same time, I was, like, nervous about it because I didn't know, how much of it, like, was actually legit and things like that. But it turned out that he had, like, a publishing company or something like that in India because I had found some stuff out because I didn't want to just, like, give out my poetry like that. But every poem... and there's even some people in the book that actually are no longer on All Poetry either. Some of them have passed away and stuff, and I'm like, oh, wow, I got that book and has some of their poetry in it.
I do remember a guy when we were at Late Night Poets. I do remember a guy coming around asking if anybody would volunteer some of their poems to be published, to introduced back into in India. In their culture, he came around asking permission.
I didn't know
if that was a good thing or not. Like, I asked some people, is that normal? What do they, that's what that one place where I tracked down where my poems were being posted. Same type of deal.
Yeah.
It was Pakistan. I think the other guy was in India. It was in India, but he came around asking groups, can you volunteer some of your stuff? I want to share it with University of Pakistan or something.
As far as from what I have ever heard, and this is, like I said, been All Poetry for years now, I've had a few people that have sent me messages that are like from India or things like that. And they always come and tell me how much they love my poetry because they like makes them think of like their culture and how tranquil it is. And I'm like, interesting. Like, a lot of my mom often like laughs and stuff when I've told her these things before, and she's just like, you're just popular all over the world. I was like, well, I guess so.
Deborah and I have had a conversation with the group from Egypt, India, and like that how they approach their poetry and how they write. It's we agreed that it's some of the best. These people know, because I mentioned as a second language how well they grasp the English language. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that conversation, Deb, but we were talking about.
Absolutely.
You do remember, okay?
It's
yeah,
amazing too.
How well?
Gorgeous, gorgeous writers in many languages, like Asama.
Yeah, Asama. That's what started it all. Really.
Yeah, she's somebody who's also has talked to me before and loves my poetry, and I was like, okay, like I'll take it.
Yeah. You could be a star in India. Like some movie stars, Jerry Lewis was a god in France. David Hasselhoff was one in Germany. You don't know where your fan base is all the time. Be a star in India. Your Crystal Hope? Oh, come on, it's Crystal Hope. Didn't know I was famous.
You never know.
You don't know.
All right, speaking of poetry, even though I don't have too many poems tonight, I think it's been like 30 minutes. We need to start.
I gotta find
some. Okay. And Hatt, if you don't find one on Chains, that's perfectly fine. You want to bring whatever you want to bring, I'm fine with that too. Because I was thinking that when I saw you on the board, and I was like, Hatt, don't have a poem. And then I was like, go ahead and bring what you want.
So you're just being
right.
My passive and having to find one less important. Okay.
Well, no.
also,
one question, Deb. The Supermoon, did we ever get permission from them or no?
As far as I know, last I checked, no, but it's like
okay.
You read my mind because I am logging in and checking that right now just to make sure, but like there wasn't even a response. when I sent the message. And it's a shame because I love seeing new people, but no, there is not an email. Sorry.
I know. I saw that too, and I was like, I got excited, but then the first thing that came to my head was like, oh, got to do the permission thing first. So, but yeah.
Hey, I got a question.
I'll definitely, yes, after.
Oh, as far as permissions, if somebody somebody wrote a piece with me, a collaboration, she's no longer on the site, hasn't been for years. Collaboration was given to me for me to have, to keep, to own. Now, if she wrote half of it.
Whose name is it published under, Heather?
What's that?
Did you push enter and publish it, or did she, he, whoever?
I did. It was
then,
in my...
And that you can use because it's your poem that someone wrote with. If you wrote with someone else, you'd have to have that someone else's permission. That's why I asked.
Yeah, well,
published
it's
under
like,
your
it's
name.
It's like Shout, not even Shy, we don't ask her permission.
That's
she
because
gave
those
me
are
that.
Your words, though.
That, yeah,
those
I was
are your
say,
words.
That's
your poem, yeah.
Yeah, you own those lyrics. And
she owned the music. I mean, she created the music, but
exactly,
gave it to
but
me.
But
she
did
the
it.
Gift.
And plus, she's got to hear it, and she knows that we are using them on the shows. But like I said, since you posted it, the person writing with you sent you the line, so obviously, you know, you have ownership.
Yeah, she did two lines, I did two lines,
created the
last piece we wrote together. Kay was worried, he couldn't read it on the air because I mentioned it was written with somebody else, even though I owned it. I'm worried about
it. Yeah, like I said, if she had been the one that posted it, we wouldn't be able to use it without her permission. But it's yours, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, well, the first poem I have on the board is Caves, and she got a SoundCloud for us. I don't know if you guys, I know I got the poem. Make sure y'all got the poem, too. But I'm going to go ahead and hit play if I have it in front of me. Good. Good.
Winter's pass and tale. The devouring winds howl and echoes like screaming souls of ageless and timeless days, isolated glimpses from vision seen through shedding of old, welcome in the new, drive the memory bank of nostalgia upon ashen life as the sun seeks below with each passing season. Beauty fades as the moon hides behind the light. Fresh beauty to behold, today's sorrows personified woe. A casual, gentle winds, caressing leaves fallen into submission of order. Echoing voice of seasonal tides, becoming the sound of disconnection and stillness. Erratic rhythm of silence, guide me in your grace. I need your presence, realizing I am strong. Sometimes the strong need reassurance, choosing every step along the way, believing in fate and destiny, becoming instrumental interlude of tranquility danced to, as clumsy feet shuffle in silent haunches of fortitude's renewal and poem.
And I like what she wrote to. The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. I am sometimes a sucker for the Nutcracker. I'm not always a big fan of ballet, but I do like the Nutcracker. But yeah, I really like towards the end when it's saying, becoming the sound of disconnection and stillness, and then guide me in your grace. I need your presence, realizing I am strong. Sometimes strong, need reassurance, choosing every step along the way. I mean, that is very true. As someone who is always trying to give other people hope or always trying to be there for other people, sometimes it can be like very hard to constantly think that you need to be strong. But even if you see somebody is strong, everybody eventually needs something of a pick-me-up themselves, some type of reassurance like, hey, you're doing a good job as well, and things like that. But I love that talking about guiding into grace and needing presence to know that you're strong. Like I said, you'd sometimes need those things in life, and that's just kind of where I think I got through on the poem. Really beautiful job, Kay, and thank you for bringing it. It very is very moving. I'll start with Deb on comments.
Yeah, you know, I think this is really an awesome poem, and I'm reading along. For one, I really like Winter's Passing Tale. It's a cool title. But the section there where it says, isolated glimpses from visions seen through shedding up old, welcoming the new, drive the memory bank of nostalgia upon ashen life as the sun sinks below with each passing season. For one thing, the memory bank of nostalgia is an amazing, amazing metaphor, in my opinion. But that section that I just quoted, I really love it, like the shedding of the old and the welcoming of the new. I think that's really a fantastic part. And there's, I don't know if it's, there's like a, there's hope in getting rid of the, hey, I didn't even realize that was a pun, hope. But no, there was hope tied up with the thought of the shedding the old, like, you know, let's let everything go and let's start anew. And, but I can't get past that memory bank of nostalgia. I think that's a brilliant metaphor. Great share, Kay.
Good comment, Deb. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, Crystal, I hope you did a fine job. You guys need a pat on the back, right? Yes, Kate, it seems like, I don't know if it's the picture for this one, but it seems like it's eased up on the heavy, deep, heavy metaphors, and it's easier to follow the storyline, what she's saying. I do love her metaphors. In fact, she's become one of the premier metaphor creators that I've around. But when she started writing the brevity, the shorter ones, she's realized maybe the deeper metaphors need to be eased up a bit. See, I'm saying this all bad. I'm sorry. This is just, I find it just easier to follow. These are the words. Any comment?
I agree with you on the things you said, Heather, like the, like with Kay and everything. Often being very good with metaphor. Times I don't actually get the metaphor, but then again, I don't know. Alrighty. I think we're probably going to... Oh, go ahead, Heather.
Just real quick, I had met this artist and writer on Facebook. She was a beautiful writer, gorgeous painter and artist. But she would write these beautiful metaphoric lines, one right after the other, and they were beautifully constructed and just a wizard of words to piece them together. But there was no storyline. There was nothing there but one beautiful metaphor line after the other. And she was very popular with her writes. People really enjoy them. But it was like, it's way too heavy in that
because they are each line could stand alone in its metaphoric beauty. That was it. It was never a storyline or anything, and I didn't know her well enough to talk to her about it. I thought she would care what I thought, but I've noticed some people just write in metaphors these deep. I used to write, my metaphor lines were basically really cryptic. I didn't want anybody to know what I was writing about, and that was sort of stupid, so I eased up a little bit. Just saying.
I don't think I find it that stupid. Someone who sometimes is just like sat at the keyboard and just wrote and have no idea what I'm writing. Because oftentimes then you'll get people that will get like 5,000 different things from your poem. Like some person may get something moving out of it. Somebody may get something like out of rage out of it. You got all different types of things. So I don't always think that's a bad thing.
That was the pleasure, was that you was getting so many different views of what they thought it was, what it meant. I remember doing it because I wouldn't give that up when they asked. I go, I can't tell you what I see. What do you see? Some people like that. Some people don't.
That's true. All right. So what I've got going, I just put Deb's up for Deb to read. And then I guess we can read for Laughing Soul. And then Hatter, if you then want to bring yourself a poem, I'll read mine. I'd like to end the show with Budo's because he has a song and I'm excited. I love when Budo brings songs.
Me too.
Pretty much the way it's going to go. And unless we get permission from Supermoon. Like I said, I can't really touch your poem until we get permission. But, Deb, whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and read. I know it went up the board a little bit.
Okay. Well, I was touching on the fact that things change a lot when your body starts to betray you. And so you just sort of fight back a little. And it's called Bent Is Not Broken. Here we go. There is an ache from body motions, from the pachyderm on breastplate breaths, too. Breaths that leave me fighting just to inhale till the inhaler mist kicks in. Pulse thumps racing from the spasms, ridden footsteps cramping up the spasmatic steps knot. Charley horses rack two legs, plaguing the calf muscles, squeezing the thighs, and twisting all 10 toes, curling them, amplifying the aches. Not all the hours throb, not all aches scar. Sometimes pills are blockades. But if people clobber me with words, spitting venom and hissed whispers, those jabs carve the scars from the pokes and the laughs, the picking scabs to scratch the gnawing itch, then carrying tails as they fabricate just for the drama. Do they rise higher from climbing on my spine, from raking me over the bed of coals men speak of, and then dressing in rhinestone-crusted blinders, blocking the view from the scars they leave? Arthritis, filled fingers claw on knees crawling to stand. All the people that knocked me down cannot chain me there. They cannot break me. Bent is not broken. End poem.
Wow. I think there was one part where I got, I think, a little bit emotional was in the middle, was about the not all hours throb, not all aches scar, sometimes tilts or blockades. That part where you're talking about not all aches scar, and I think, like, right then and there kind of, like, hit me, and I got, I guess, a little emotional from those words. Because it is true, like, a lot of times, whether we're talking like actually, like physically or emotionally or however, whatever like you're walking away from, sometimes people have no idea because some things don't leave a scar, and or like the scar isn't very visual and people have no clue that like what you like may have gone through. And sometimes when something is there to hurt, to help you, it actually hurts you. So I really like that you put that in there, especially with the words about spitting venom and hissed whispers. How many times we have been through that. But I do feel like this is kind of a poem that hits on like the physical and on the mental, like things that may have like actually gone towards you, but eventually you're like, it's just bending me, but it's not breaking me. And sometimes when we seem like we're broken, sometimes we could just be a little bent. But it's really, really beautiful, Deb. Like, it's like very, like the two poems so far have been very touching, which I kind of figured we were going to get there a little bit tonight, but it's very moving. Beautiful job.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Great comment.
And Hatter, what's your comment?
Yeah, I think you're right. The out of all the scars I have and own, I think the wounds that were scarless hurt the worst. They were the ones that hurt the worst. People couldn't see. Deb, between AP's last night and yours, my whole body hurts. I can't. It's when they show injuries of sports injuries that happened during the field of play, I can't. I have the curse of feeling all that pain with usually my knees. So I can relate to your wounds. And I got a question. Bent, not broken. I've used that. I just used that twice in a piece that I haven't shared yet. I just thought that was odd that Bent is not broken. A little bit. Dr. Bennett, I broke it. Joke.
I might have said it, or you might have said it. That's from a couple months ago. But Hatter, you know why Crystal can't find your poem? Because you put it in Monday's board. So I'm just going to stick it on the wall, just so that Crystal sees it. That's all. But thank you for the comment, Hatter.
Yeah.
No, I had saw that Hatter had put it there as soon as I went to click on the topic, and then I looked and I was like, I bet Hatter put it in the wrong folder. I just wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to grab it. I wasn't going to say anything. Because I've done it. I've done that before where you put it in the wrong folder. But I can't blame him. But your poem also made me think of the whole, bent is not broken. It also makes me think of that thing, a quote before where they talked about those like little highlighter things, but like those little bracelets, those like glow-in-the-dark bracelets that you have to break and stuff like that in order to bring light. That also kind of made me think of that, because that is true too. Like sometimes some things have to be bent or broken in order to see the light.
Yeah. That's a good line. It's a good line. I'm bent because I'm not broken. There's a couple songs that have it in it, but it like escapes me. Which songs those are?
I know which ones you're talking about. I've seen those.
Yeah, is the one by Green Day, Boulevard of Broken Dreams? Is that lyric in that?
I think it is. I haven't listened to that song in a while. But I think it is in that song, or it has a line that's similar.
Similar to it, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Guy had a poem somewhere, I think, where I did something like that about not being broken. I don't know if I used bent, but I had something about not being broken, just seeming like kind of like you're like a bit of a change or something like that. I forgot what the poem is. It's kind of like vaguely in the back of my head. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I wrote a tear jerky. I tried to make the girls cry again just recently, and I still got. They think that's where my frame of mind is, it's just a poem. That's where I'm at emotionally, but people tend to want to believe that you wrote this in the frame of mind that illustrates on your poem. It's not. It's been a while. That's why I don't share it with my friends, my poetry, because it creates phone calls and messages, and I'm here for you if you need somebody to talk to. Oh, man. The poem.
I know that feeling way, way, way too much. I had that as a kid. When I was a kid, people would give me notebooks. I would buy notebooks at the store, and I would make little stories. Sometimes I'd draw. Sometimes I would just, like, write them out. I should have known that I wanted to write then, but maybe I didn't know. But I would often make these little stories in my notebooks, and I would have all the kids around, like, grabbing my notebook, wanting to see what it was. And they would, like, and some of it was just sometimes my thoughts or something. It wasn't anything that happened to me or anything like that. It was sometimes I was thinking about people around me, or sometimes I was just thinking, like, in my own imagination. And I'd have these people, like, read, and they would, like, is that about you? Is this about you? Is this about you?
Yeah.
No, it's not. And then when I got older and started writing poetry, then I had the same thing where, like, people would, and occasionally I will tell people, like, usually I write it in my author notes, or I'll tell somebody, like, yeah, I wrote this and a hard time in my life or something like that. But a lot of times, I mean, it's like thinking about people around me, or sometimes I'm just in the mood to write something, like, more deep.
Sure.
Or moving, but I'm not actually in, like, in that place.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think we've all been there.
Yeah, I wrote My Mother's Hand, a poem about a mother walking her child to school, and then one day she said the kid would have to walk alone and find out that the mother had passed away, and I wrote it, and I got so many. Because they were sure my mom had died when I was young. When that's not true. She's lived to be old and sassy and had nothing to do with my mom. But it did hit on an event that you most likely is should be personal. So sometimes we ask for it, I guess.
And I know there's times where I've been inspired to write something after I've read a book or something like that. Like, I've even written about stories about, like, kids losing their parents or something like that. And I've written my own, like, little story poems or things like that. And then I'll get messages. They're like, oh, your mom died? I'm like, no, my mom is in the living room right next to me. Like, she's not there. Like, that. I've actually told people that because they're like, I one time wrote one about, like a little girl losing her. They were like, did your mom die when you were young? I was like, no. I was like, my mom's literally in the other room. I was like, this is just, I even put it in my author's notes normally. I put, this is a fiction story. I always put it in there because I want people to know this is a fiction story, not real.
That's what I'm going to do.
Normally that's what you have to do, because then people think that it is true. Because sometimes even when I've read something that I feel like is personal, I sometimes still message that person and be like, was this personal or no? Like, I'll ask or something like that. I don't always, because sometimes I feel like if it's personal, you don't want to talk about it. But if it seems like it's something and they didn't put it in their author's notes, I'll ask. I'll just be like, is this personal? Like, I wanted to know the deeper meaning of it. And if they'll just be like, oh, something I just wrote on the spot, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so far I have seen Budo, and now Allie is on the board. So hi to Allie and Budo on the board. Let's see. That's what I was doing. All right. So I'm going to do Laughing Soul's poem. I'm going to read for her, and then Hatter will get you reading, and then
okay.
And then I guess I'll probably read mine, and then we'll end the night with Budo's song. I think it sounds like a plan. All right. So if you guys see Laughing Soul's poem, My Biological Talk. Okay. All right. So is My Biological Clock by Laughing Soul. At the age when your body longs to be a mother and you still not found your lover, you're bound to be a little pricky. Yeah. When it's hormones acting up in your bloodstream, then you close yourself up and write poetry, living in a world of fantasy, hoping for a miracle, although you know the biological clock is ticking. Your friends think you don't want to settle because you believe in nothing but the best, and compromise is something you've long put back to rest. The world, you may think you're putting the universe to test. I say, why not? Yes. I know I'm years back to kiss the teens and adolescent vanished, understanding my dreams. Now I'm cherishing my 40s. I know I'm a queen, and I know my biological clock is ticking. So I keep reminding myself, you'll be a queen even without a king, although it's not what I dreamt, and my biological clock is ticking. End poem. I can understand this, because I know times where I even have, like, a few friends, like, they've told me that they've never really wanted to have children or something like that, and I can understand that. I often think that it should be completely up to the woman or even up to the couple, the man, whoever. It doesn't matter, but, like, sometimes people, like, I have met some people, though, that wanted children when they were young, and then they waited too long, and then they regretted it later down the road, and then there's some people that haven't. But I like seeing what she put in the end, though, that she knows that she's a queen and things like that, and to just keep going that way. I feel like it has a lot of empowerment in it. It's, like, has empowerment and has, like, feeling of her thoughts. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it's kind of what it is, its own way of change, how our life has changed and things like that, and mind and everything. Deb, you haven't said much in a while. I'll have you comment first.
Yeah, this is like gut wrenching. I want to cry at the thought of, you know, that clock passing by, of her wanting something so bad that she still doesn't have. And if I could have a wish for her, that would be it, that she would get to be a mom. And, I mean, my goodness, can you imagine that child listening to her tell a bedtime story or something? Because she's got such a tranquil voice that, you know, it just breaks my heart. Amazing poem for sure. Very powerful.
Agreed. I didn't think of that either. She does have a very beautiful voice, especially when she does SoundCloud. That would be really sweet. Hatter, what's your viewpoint?
Yeah, you know, she's one of our hallmark writers, and this sort of, she stepped out of her hallmark mode just to tell us how she got here. This is a map
basically on how most of us got here. Why do you write poetry? What started you? And then you close yourself up and write poetry, living in a world of fantasy, hoping for a miracle, although you know the biological clock is ticking. It's a map of how we all got here. I know why I picked up my pen and started writing again, and I'm assuming most people do. I'd say 80%, if not more, started with a tragic event, emotional abandonment. We left. Would you say that percentage is right?
Kinda. I don't know about 80%, but I feel like, yeah, quite a few people, they usually start writing because of something. I feel like that's like something that's happened to them. But I also feel like sometimes people sometimes just get inspired by things around them as well. It doesn't even have to be something of their own.
That's true. And even if you can't get the juices rolling to write poetry, write those thoughts down and file them away for another time. That's the art of being able to write emotional and good pieces, is to have that when you're there in that emotional state. Just because you can't finish a poem doesn't mean you can't write. I have writer's block that does that to me all the time, but I continue to create hook lines, titles, just a couple phrases that I like until I'm able to write again. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Laugh and Soul, for bringing that. Like I said, it was very emotional. Hatter, I have yours on the board if you're ready to read.
Okay, this is I pulled this one because it's been rewritten one time, but this was one that was really heavy in metaphors. For an example, where I was writing 8 years ago, called "With the Worst to Come." And I bet that I'm the only one that has actually x-rays and MRIs of my brain. That's it. Right there. And it goes like this. Helpless to speak of the demons that control what was once safe. Words spoken against the wind explain neither how nor why. Life being immortal to stand against the onslaught of deception and reality controls the laws of time. From days past, the memory sparks a light that fades too quickly. The endless stares blindly watching the failing sun collide with the oceans that weeps for its demise. Lost reflections drain our eyes from reasons, quickens the surge. Hooded shapes march heavy upon the muddied glass. If for only a moment reflects the ending of my life, with the worst to come. Alone draws neither comfort nor peace, draining the will to fight as the cold draws near. Passions are carried high as if surrendered them to the wind, praying by a rescue by flight. The value of life is measured by the passions that hides between the double yellow lines, with the worst to come. This was written when I was given the news I had a brain tumor, and life changed. It was the first time you could really sit and think what was important never had a price tag.
There definitely are those times in life where you kind of like have your life kind of flash before your eyes. As somebody who had a couple of friends that had brain tumors, which is weird because the two people didn't even like each other. And I always thought that was strange because I was like, y'all literally have the same thing. Y'all both have brain tumors. But they didn't get along. So But it one of them was a closer friend to me, and the other one wasn't as much. So like I got to hear both of their stories though, and things like that. So, and I couldn't imagine. I mean, I know we all struggle with our own things, but there's like something that you may not be able to understand, but then there's something you're going through that someone else doesn't understand. I really like what you said, though. Alone draws neither comfort nor peace, straining the will to fight as the cold draws near. Sometimes it seems like you'll want to fight, and the next thing you don't. And then you're just trying to find some type of peace somewhere, but it seems like it's just kind of nowhere to be found. The other thing I really liked, too, was the muddled glass. I liked it, how that sound. But yeah, I can tell this is like very personal and stuff like that, and that you kind of wrote it from kind of like a metaphoric kind of heart, I guess I would say. but it's really good, Hatter.
It's really funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's the first time you're given news like that. Because there was about a week and a half, where I didn't know if it was cancerous. I didn't know if it was operable. I didn't know anything other than I had a tumor. And that was a life-changing moment. They wouldn't know until they went in and went in and took it out whether it was cancerous or not. So I wouldn't know until I woke up from the surgery whether it was the kind to worry about. And it wasn't. It was benign. The 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Actually, it was several months before, a couple months before I was scheduled for the surgery. So I had to wake up every day not knowing. I was waiting for the news. I was just waiting to hear this news that was going to shatter my life and drop me to my knees. And it never came, thank God. But preparing yourself for something like that is very personal in itself. And that's sort of how I wrote this. Was.
You know, you bring on a good thought on that. Hatter, somebody who's kind of like gone through my own stuff. No one ever talks about the in-between. Like a lot of times it's like when you first get the news of something, but nobody actually talks about the in-between here and there. Like when you find out, like what you were saying about finding out about a brain tumor, you didn't know anything about it. And then you just had to wait to figure stuff out. And then that can lead to worry and other things. So I could completely understand that. Or afterwards, when you're going through the healing process and you have no idea, like if you're healing properly or if something is wrong, you have no idea and you just have to wait until they're like, oh, yeah, you're good.
yeah.
But, yeah, it's a hard time.
Yeah, every sensation, after the operation, every sensation, every pain, every feeling that seemed odd freaked me out. And I said, no, that's normal. That's normal. You know, you might want to tell me that before you send me home. And then I had to act like I had to act around my family because my wife was just a wreck. I handled it better than she did, the time of unknown. So I had to act around like it was nothing. Nothing was going on. Everything was fine. That was tough to do.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you don't want people worrying about you. Mm.
Yeah. Definitely agreed on that one. Because I've definitely... There have been times I haven't really told people much about something, and I'm just like, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to do this. Or sometimes you also just don't want to hear, like, because some people you tell and they may be like, oh, they may make it worse. Like they may sit there and like start getting you to worry, and then like there's like certain people, it's like I you can only tell, or sometimes don't tell at all.
I pulled a trick on my wife before I went under. The doctor tells me, the neurosurgeons tell you, now look, after the surgery, things might change. Your tastes might change, little characteristics that maybe only your wife would see, but that's a possibility. Things, you know, my favorite color could change, or taste, say anything. So you're going into to an unknown. He said also that sometimes it's not unheard of me to have a little amnesia, not knowing who or what's going on, being that they're messing around with the brain. So I stuck it in my brain that I'm going to, when I wake up and see my wife for the first time, I'm going to act like I don't know who she is, just to see, for one thing, just to see if I could carry that thought through the brain surgery. And I woke up in the recovery room, not in my private room, but in the recovery room, and this nurse is leading my wife over to me. Now, I didn't realize that I looked a mess. The wrapping around my head is just completely blood-soaked. And I look up at her, and I go, who are you? And she freaking fainted. She fainted right there. Wasn't very funny.
Wow.
Well, terrible. I didn't know how I looked. Yeah, and the nurse was there to catch her, and she just went out. But I said, who are you? Do I know you? It wasn't very funny. She didn't have any sense of humor. I thought it was funny. Probably why I'm not married anymore.
Time and a place for a joke, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't
feel
as funny.
Well, Deb has left because she said that she had to go. So thank you, Deb, for coming and bringing your poem. I have mine, and then I have, like I said, we're going to do Budo's, and then we'll be done for the night.
Just me and you?
But
just me and you?
Just me and you. Just me and you.
Yeah.
We'll just go ahead and read mine, and then we can read or get on Budo's. Like I said, I'm excited to see. So this is actually one of my very, very favorite poems of all time that I've ever written. But kind of when I thought of change, it was one of the first poems that came to my head. It's not even rhyme. It's free verse, which is weird.
Yeah.
This is called Holding On When It's Time to Fall. She carried the baggage in her brown sacked satchel, holding on to memories that if she let go, her heart would disgrace from the branch she can't abandon. Smoke finishing rippled from her brain, holding back the rain of tears, a rise of heated temperatures, the anger wrapped around her, foliage failed to turn. Emerald green steadily lasting, inept to paint in ruby, gold, citrine, through the season she held on. But after so many years, holes and heat damage invaded inside, turning her green to brown. She understood she had to let go. One stem by stem, breaking her rotted marrow apart. It may hurt as the etchings of the leaf rippled down, but as cold winds blew, colors rectified. She nestled on the textures, the hues, discovering something there that she found. Relief. And poem.
Wow. Carried the baggage. It doesn't rhyme.
No. That's what I'm surprised by when I wrote it.
How many free verses do you have, do you think?
Maybe 50 out of the like 1,400 and something I have. It's very rare that I write a free verse. It has to come to me.
Yeah. I might have five. I might have five. I just struggle to write free. Well, the one I just read was free verse. Emerald green, steady. What was the point? Citrine. Is that orange?
It's like a yellowish orange.
Okay.
I think it's like a golden kind of color between like an orange and a yellow.
Okay. I thought. Yeah, there's some colors that have names that just doesn't go with the color. Like chartreuse.
Agreed. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Chartreuse is a mauve. Come on. Yeah, this is very good. I'll ask you this: when you write a free, do you have an urge to go back and make it rhyme?
No, I guess because I think of more of the meaning behind it than I think of like when I'm reading it, I'm thinking more of like the deep feelings more than I'm thinking about the rhyme. Because there's times where I'll have a poem where it has deep meaning, but it also has a rhyme. But it's not where I'm thinking about it. And then when I read it aloud, I'm like, oh, well, that works together. It's not that I'm thinking about the rhyme. It's just I'm just writing.
Well, that's the most difficult part about rhyming, being a rhymer, is to keep your storyline where you're happy with it, because you tend to be a little handcuffed with the words you can use. And that's what different ways to structure your sentences can double your rhyming words. So there are little tricks to help it along, but I will be writing a free, and I can do this by memory. When I write a free, somewhere in it, I'm going to rhyme a line, and I'm going to be happy with it, and I'm going to go, I got to get rid of it. I can't have that. Can't rhyme in a free. So I struggle writing free verse.
Anytime I've seen a free verse contest, I'll look at it for a second, and then I'd be like, am I in the mood to write a free verse? No. And then I'll just go on my merry little way, because like a lot of the times, and there's times I've tried to literally write free verse, and then the next thing I know, I rhymed two words, and I was like, dang it. I was like, I can't help it. It just
Yeah. Oh, I dream and rhyme, I'll talk and rhyme, and there are people around me going, knock it off. Okay.
I have done that. I think my worst habit, though, that I have done probably the past like 5 years, and it hasn't stopped, is where I'm, which I have a poem called it too, I think it's called like something daydreamer or something like that. But oftentimes I will look at something and I'll automatically like start almost getting in like poetry writer kind of mode about it. And it has annoyed people before. I remember one time with a friend of mine, I was on a porch and I was looking up at the moon while they were doing something. And they walked outside and they couldn't get in my attention. And they were like, what were you doing? And I was like, the moon. I was like, it's like round and white. And like, well, I had more than that, but I was like really going on and on of the details of the moon. And then I started like almost creating like a poem type thing. And they were like, I just see the moon. And I was like, oh, sorry. Like I just drifted off somewhere.
You don't understand. You don't understand what you just triggered. Yeah. Really?
No, that has happened to me more than once. But that's the one memory that I remember the most, though, because they were, like, so confused. They were like, I just see the moon. And I was like, well, I see more than the moon. Like, I got to get in detail of it. So, it's a gift, but at the same time.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever tried collaborating with somebody that just didn't work from day one? It just wasn't going to happen. That's happened to me once. I'll tell you who the poet was. Somebody that I really wanted to write with too, but it's like we had tried three different times, and it was like, let's say, two different, totally different thought process of how to create it. And I'll tell you what, it was Boston. I've tried to couple
times. I can see that. Because I've seen how she writes, and I've seen how you. I can see that. I don't know if I've ever had that. Most of the time, if I've collabed with someone, usually I try my very hardest to, like, try and even go, like, a little, like, I'll try and compromise, accommodate with them and stuff like that usually. Like, I'll try and write, because I've done, like, different collabs over the years. Like, I did one with Bella, and Bella and I have very two different types of poetry, but it worked. It's very different, but I think it looks pretty cool. And then, I don't know, I've collabed with a lot of different people. Like I said, the one person that I have collabed with, which really I need to collab with Deb again, but like that was the first person I really wanted to collab with because we had very similar rhyme, we had very similar color and writing and things like that, and I've written a few poems with Deb. It's been a while, but I enjoyed when I did, though, because, like I said, we were very much on the same page. Like, that was probably the fastest collabs we've ever done because she sent me a few lines. I sent them back and forth. We're done. Because, like, it just flowed that easily.
You know, there's a poet that I'm sure you know. We've collaborated three or four times. I think four times. And we do it for a contest, and we've won gold every time. That's Candy Brown.
Yeah, I think I don't know who you're talking about, because she used to do shows and stuff like that. I was trying to remember I think I have read one or two of those poems that you guys have done, I think. But yeah, I could see that too, like the style and stuff like that. But I also feel like she could have done the thing, or you two could have done the thing of accommodating each other when it came to writing.
You know, and there's no rhyme or reason to why it would work in Boston didn't to that level of not being able to write with Boston. And then with Candy, it just was so easy. And there's two of the four that is just I think it's just amazing. I contribute most of that to her, and she says the opposite. But I found that just that we got gold every time we hooked up and wrote something. So that's not too bad.
Well, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to go ahead and do, I guess, some announcements, and then we'll do Budo's song, get him some comments, and call it a night. Thank you to Hatter and Deb for calling in and hanging out with me. And thank you to Kay and Laugh and Soul and Budo. And that's it. And like I said, to Supermoon, I will check her poem out. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to read it, but we can't read something if we don't have permission. I don't think there's a show tomorrow that I can think of. I do know I saw for the 11th for Liquid Damage. She's doing a show at 10 p.m. She's doing open poetry. Definitely check her thing out. And I'm trying to think what else I saw. And for Saturday night, I see you guys on Saturday. Your topic is critters.
Critters.
Saturday, Hatterday. Critters. Interesting. All I'm thinking is like the little critters that are like probably in my backyard. That's the first thing in my head when I hear the word critters. That's clever though. So yeah, you guys are doing your show on Saturday, and that's at 10. Okay, cool. Yeah, check out for Liquid Damage's show on Friday at 10, and for Saturday Hatterday on Saturday, at 10.
Saturday, Saturday.
And I'm going to go ahead. So we'll get him some comments and call it a night. Here we go.
I can read between the lines and feel the bold winter cold. In the bluster hear the sigh again and again. I can listen to your lies, not my head and my pretend, but I know the truth resides in the wrath of northern wind. How I wish that it could be what it was if it were real. All those times I spent with you, here's an honest appeal. But I know the game is played to begin and end to end. As the winner takes the spoils over and over again, so it never ends. Yes, it never ends when you can't win. So you leave behind a wake where I ride until I drown. An emotional undertow that pulls me deeper down. Till the light is all but gone and the darkness sighs aloud to carry me in chaos in an all-ensnaring shroud. So it never ends. Yes, it never ends when you can win. So it never ends. Yes, it never ends with no letters to send.
Wow, I'm going to find an applause button on here. I love when Budo brings his songs. I know this is a very, heavy song, and I am going to talk about the, inner feelings of it, but I can't admit that I wasn't really kind of just bobbing back and forth listening. And I also can, picture Budo sitting on a little stool or something like that with his guitar and just really just letting his heart out. That came to my head as well. This is very, very true. Especially the part that it never ends. I really like that where he was repeating that it never ends and you can't win. It does seem like that because it is life is an on and on roller coaster and things like that. And sometimes it seems like you're up one hill one day and then down, way down in a hole buried out in the middle of nowhere in the North Pole somewhere. It definitely feels like that when you have those ups and downs, and then it seems like you never win in the end. So I can understand this, but you did a great job, Budo, and thank you for bringing the song. I always love when you bring music. What did you think, Hatter? Unmuted.
Oh, yeah, I am jacking away. I'm always impressed with Budo and his work. There's always something I was always trying to put my finger on with him, and I think I finally figured it out. There's a style of, George Harrison wrote a song called Wawa, You're Giving Me a Wawa, and it's to the same chord progression as Hey Jude. So at the end of it, when they sing in the You're Giving Me a Wah Wah, it's the same as da, 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 Hey Jude at the end.
So they combined the melodies into each other. It's really a clever. Manfred Mann did it. Kansas does it. And the Beatles, those are the ones I could think of off of that. I think the Byrds did it also, where they overlap different parts of the song. One of them's singing one part of it, and another one is singing the other part, and they go together, but the different words. That was a bad explanation. Yeah, Ludo Dillon. Sorry. Resident voice of a generation.
Great comment, Heather. And thank you, like I said before, Buddha, for bringing that song and everything. And I was glad to end the show that way. Like I said before, to everybody that wrote or called in and stuff like that, thank you for doing so. And I'm glad that we got past an hour and a half, because I didn't have that many poems, but I was glad to see we went a little longer than I thought. But yeah.
You just ask Deb just to have me drink a cup of coffee and I'll stretch and show out. But those you can shut up, Heather. Okay, yeah, I can.
No. You're fine. Sometimes, like the talking, like I said, it can at least like the show make it a little longer. Sometimes. Now, there's some days I'm kind of like, I don't want a long show. I'm tired. I'm done. Then I might say something where I'm like, okay, let's go.
if I get chatty, you just got to send me a message or just verbally say, stop it.
That would be an interesting show to have. Like, shut up, Hatter. No, I wouldn't do that.
You don't think Deborah hasn't muted me before? Yeah.
No, I haven't. Now, I have had to mute people before in the past, but usually it was because, like literally they weren't following the rules of please mute yourself when somebody's reading or when someone is talking. Because I've literally heard, like, people in the background, I've heard them talking, and I'm like, that's just because I always, like, if someone is talking, I mute myself. I just find it to be, like, more respectful.
You never know what
I think that's the worst I've ever had to do.
You never know what you're going to hear when somebody thinks they're muted and they're not.
Oh, I know. We've had our fair share of those. I've seen them over the years. Even sometimes I've been nervous, like, when I know I have myself muted, but then at the same time I'm thinking, like, what if I don't have myself muted? And they hear me, like, eating a bowl of cereal, or they hear the toilet flush or something.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Yeah.
Or fall asleep and snore. Definitely, I remember when I first was having trouble with my, before the surgeries, I would be just dead tired and start snoring. She was so sweet, she'd mute me and not say anything. But... yeah, you got to be aware of it.
Yeah, you do. Well, like I said before, to everybody listening, check out on the board for the upcoming shows. And again, thank you to everybody. I'm going to go ahead and hit end episode and I guess start getting ready for bed. So good night, Hatter, and good night, everyone.
Good night, Krista. Good job.
Yeah.